Take your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians 7. Second Corinthians 7, we're going to read one verse tonight. If the service is going long and you got to try to keep people awake, you either have to tell a lot of stories, preach on something controversial, or preach short. So, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Here we have this verse really tied into what was said before. And it says, "Having therefore these promises." Now, if you go to the verse right before, there's a promise that is given. It says, "Wherefore," it says, "and I will and will be a father unto you," verse 18, "and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And the preceding part to that promise is, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Then it says, "and I will receive you." So we have here a requirement for this promise. Earlier in verse number 16, it gives another one. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I think the first thing we see tonight, first of all, is that we need to realize the privileged position that we are in as believers. It says, "Having therefore these promises," what are these promises about? Well, they are about the privileged position that we have. What does it say? "And I will be" what? "A father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters," saith who? The Lord Almighty. Last message that I preached, we looked at where we find that word Almighty. Who remembers what book we find that word, description of Almighty declared about God?
Revelation.
The book of Revelation, I believe, is the only other book in the New Testament where you have that declaration of God, Almighty. But here you have it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "For those that will come out from among them," those that will declare themselves on God's side openly, declare themselves on whose side they're on, God says, "I will be a father unto you." Amen. And we need to realize that privileged position. You know, what is the idea of God being our father? Well, I think one aspect, let's look at just a couple of references quickly. Maybe I'll have you turn in a lot of passages. That'll help you keep you moving. But Psalm 27, verse 10, we're going to look at these real quickly. Psalm 27, verse 10, the aspect of being a father. It says in Psalm 27, 20, verse 10, it says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." All right, so there is that security. There is that protection of that a mother and father lend to their children. And when that is gone, because someone's following God, what is God promised to do? He says, the Lord will take me up. Psalm 68 and verse number 5 says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge," sorry, get reading a little fast before you're there. Psalm 68 verse 5, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is" who? "Is God in his holy habitation." Notice that. Is God in where? In his holy habitation. And you want to partake of God as your father, and that relationship, you want to partake of that privileged position. Well, what do you need to do? You need to dwell where? In his holy habitation, where it says here in 2 Corinthians to what?
come out from among them and be ye separate. You know, what relationship do you want on this earth? In Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. Notice what it says. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so what? So the Lord pitieth who? Them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know, there is a special place in God's heart for those that are willing to fear God instead of fearing man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, tonight, are you willing to come out to realize your privileged position and to definitely declare yourself to be on God's side? To forsake any relationship that is going to draw you away from God. You know, it talked about being not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, maybe there's a friendship. Maybe there's something else that's yoking yourself up with an unbeliever. You know, and it's drawing you away from God. Are you willing to say, you know what? That friendship is not one that I should be partaking of. You know, that program or that, you know, thing that I've gotten involved myself in, I need to forsake it because I need to see this privileged position that I have with God being my Father. You know, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 39, Matthew 10, verse 29. Matthew 10, 29, the Word of God states, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. In verse 28 it says, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The recognizing God as our Father, there is a what? There is a special place of protection. If God is concerned about a sparrow, if God is concerned about these small things of nature, how much more is he concerned for his children? It's a relationship of protection. It's a relationship of provision. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This relationship with God as our Father is a relationship in where He recognizes our needs. It's a relationship of provision. You know, God's not out there trying to withhold that which we need from us. He wants to give it to us. But many times we forsake that privileged position because we want to bring things into our lives that would put us outside of God's holy habitation. The relationship of Father is one who is pointing us in the right direction. In Galatians 4, it talks about how a child is under tutors and governors until what? The time appointed of the Father. All right, so there is an idea of pointing one in the right direction. The aspect of being a father. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 4, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art the what? Thou art the guide of my youth. There's the idea in the scriptures of a father being one who is what? Pointing a son in the right direction. You know, hear ye children the what? The instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. So what does a father do? He points one in the right direction. And as a believer, that is one who has decided to come out from among them and be separate. There's a what? God is going to be our Father. He's going to point us. He's going to give us that guidance that we need in life. Do you want that tonight? Do you want God to direct you in His will for your life? Well, don't mess around with the world. Don't mess around with that sin, because you're going to miss what God has for you, because you're going to miss His direction. Prayer. The privileged position of prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" There is a privileged position of prayer. And tonight we need to recognize that privileged position that we have as being one of God's children. There is a relationship that the Almighty God wants to have with you tonight. And there is a promise for that relationship to take place. You say, you know, my relationship with God tonight seems empty. Well, first of all, are you saved? But secondly, are you living a separated life? Have you forsaken the things of this world because you recognize that your relationship with God is the most important thing that you can have? You know, young person, you might say, well, I need security. You know, and so a young person says they need security, so they get involved in some relationship that's going to bring them a lack of security. Well, God provides us with eternal security. You know, you might say, well, I need to be loved. And so people go off into some relationship that they think is providing them with love, when the only real relationship where real love flows from comes from God. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." You know, whose love do you want tonight? Do you want the world's love that's fleeting, or do you want God's love that is eternal? You know, maybe you say, well, you know, some people are looking for that recognition in life, and they feel like they need recognition, so they get involved in some group of people that they think is going to give them the recognition that they need. And what they need to do is turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to God. And Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You know, whose recognition do you want tonight? Do you want your name, the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing you before the God of heaven? Well, you know what? Are you willing to make that separation? Are you willing to openly confess Christ before men? You know, whose recognition are you looking for tonight? We need to realize this privileged position that we have the opportunity to possess. And it leads me to the second point, the promised possession. We need to recognize this. This is a promise that we can possess. He says, having therefore what? These promises, it's something we have. These promises that we'll quickly go over them again. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will" what? "Receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We need to step out in faith, recognizing that these promises are real. You know, the song, "Standing on the Promises of Christ My King, Through Eternal Ages." You know, the words are slipping my mind, but, you know, standing on the promises of God. Are you doing that tonight? Are you possessing those promises that God has given? And are you stepping out in faith, having therefore these promises? Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. You know, why can't we step out on faith and trust what God has said to be true? Well, talking about Abraham, it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Is that you tonight? You realize that what God has promised, he will perform. And if you are willing to step out in faith tonight and say, you know what? That is hindering me from doing what God wants me to do. You know, that thing tonight is hindering my relationship with God. And the reason I lack direction, the reason I lack the provision, the reason I lack in prayer, the reason I may be missing that protection in my life tonight is because, you know what, I'm not dwelling in the place where God dwells. And we need to get back to that holy place where God is. And he says, I will be a father unto you. You know, what relationship are you striving for tonight? You know, we have the Almighty God of heaven who has all power and all ability to make every single need in our life, to meet every single need in our life. But yet, many times, we go after other things or other people thinking that that is going to satisfy us. We need to realize that these promises are ours tonight. And we need to be willing to stand up and put our faith in the God of heaven. But thirdly, we see really what is the whole result of these things. We find how we need to be rededicated to a purified person. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse, or let us purify ourselves from all filthiness, every single thing that would defile us, of the flesh and spirit. Then it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it says, let us cleanse ourselves. So we see here, there needs to be a rededication to being a pure, to having purity in our lives. I'm trying to alliterate things, I put rededicated to a purified person. Now, that maybe sounds a little trite, but hopefully you get the idea. There is a purification that ought to take place in our lives as we recognize this relationship that God wants to have with us. When we're a believer, God is our Father. But it's that relationship with Him as our Father, is that taking place tonight? Let us cleanse ourselves. We need to purify ourselves. In 1 John 3:3, it says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as Jesus Christ is pure. What's that hope? Well, that hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. It ought to what? It ought to motivate us. But tonight there's a different, another motivation, and that is the fact that God has said that He's going to have this relationship with us. God Almighty. We find here this cleansing is for every believer. What does it say? It says, let us cleanse. Who's He speaking to? The believers here at Corinth. Every believer. This isn't just for the people out there. You know, there's a lot of wickedness going on out there. But here, God's looking at the church and saying, hey, you need to cleanse yourselves. So it's not the people out there tonight that this is being directed at. This is being directed at believers sitting here in this auditorium. And you know what? It's not what? The person sitting across from the aisle from you, or the preacher standing in the pulpit, although it includes everyone. It's what? Let us cleanse ourselves. It's me. It's you. Let us cleanse ourselves. So we find the cleansing is for every believer, the people. It's us. You know, don't be looking at those out there. It's ourselves. Don't look at the person across the aisle before you look at yourself. And what's the scope of this cleansing that ought to take place?
says, let us cleanse ourselves from what? From all filthiness. The scope is everything. It's not just some things in our lives. It's not just the things that we would choose to cleanse ourselves from. But it's every impurity in our lives. And you know what? God wants to give you victory over that sin tonight that you're struggling with. But first of all, you need to declare whose side you're on. You know, God said, I will be a father unto you. God is going to provide. God is going to give the provision. God is going to answer that prayer. He knows what we need before we even ask Him. But are you willing tonight to have that full cleansing take place? The scope of this is all. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all. And then it says, the subject of this cleansing, that is filthiness. It is anything that defiles. Anything that is going to be defiling to us spiritually. Earlier he spoke of a couple things. You know, what fellowship hath light with darkness? He talked about unequally yoking ourselves together with unbelievers. Is there anything tonight that is defiling in your life? Well, it needs to be washed. It needs to be cleansed. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26, it talks about what? With the washing of the water, what? By the Word. You know, tonight you need the Word of God to come into your life. And the cleansing that can take place. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about being renewed. In Colossians chapter 3, it talks about the new man and how the new man, and he hath put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, tonight maybe you need a washing to take place in your life. You have been washed. You have been cleansed. You know, but maybe there's a part of your body, so to speak, spiritually, that needs to be washed. Because it's gotten dirty. That cleansing, that impurity, every one that is there needs to be taken care of. And then we see the realm that this cleansing takes place in. There's two areas, two realms. It says, of the flesh, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. All right, so we have the flesh, that which has to do with our bodies. All right, you can look in Galatians chapter 5. You can see sins of the flesh, fornication, adultery. All these different sins that are a result of the sinful flesh, the sinful desires of our flesh. You know, there's a lot of them. We live in a day and age in which we are constantly being bombarded. The Bible says we need to cleanse ourselves of all those sins of the flesh. You know, it could be wrong music appealing to our flesh. It could be wrong things you're looking at. It could be, you know, some other area of the flesh that you have allowed yourself to be tempted in. The Bible says there needs to be a full cleansing that takes place in your life. So we have the realm of the flesh. And then we have the realm of the spirit. It says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So we can defile ourselves through the flesh, but we can also defile ourselves in the realm of the spirit. You know, you look at some verses in the Word of God on the spirit. In Proverbs 17, verse 27, it talks about, you know, a man of understanding has a what? Has an excellent spirit. In Proverbs 18:14, it talks about how the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But then it says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, what is that referring to? You know, there's someone who can have the right attitude of in a trial. Now, you think of somebody who's struggling through something. And when they have that right attitude, that right spirit, it what? It sustains them.
But you get around somebody that has that wounded spirit, and you just can't what? Oh, you can't stand it. Have you ever been around somebody that's going through a great trial, and you went to visit them and maybe try to be an encouragement to them, and then they ended up being more of an encouragement to you? Well, that's what? The spirit of man will sustain his firmity, but a what? A wounded spirit. Who can bear it? And you get around someone else, and it's like, man, you're discouraged. You're depressed. It's a wounded spirit. And you just, man, I don't want to be around that person anymore. There's somebody else that has that right spirit about them and encourages you, helps you to go forward. In Proverbs 29, it talks about a humble, one who is humble in spirit. Romans 8 and verse 15 talks about how we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans chapter 12, I'd like us to look at this just to get a little bit of understanding when it talks about cleanse ourselves, flesh and the spirit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Here's one way that God wants our spirit to be. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, if you're a bump on the log, you've got the wrong spirit. I know that's kind of colloquial English, so to speak, but if you're just kind of sitting there, you have a lackluster attitude about life. What does the Bible say? You've got the wrong spirit, and you've got sins of the spirit tonight that need to be cleansed. The Bible says we are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, when was the last time that there was any fervency in your life over something? You know, that can be convicting. Because it's easy to get fervent about certain things, but when was the last time we were fervent in spirit about serving God? But God wants us to be fervent of everything. It says, not slothful in business. You know, you've got a job to do, young person. Do it. You know, adult, you're at work. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Have a fervency about what you do in life that characterizes everything that you do. Does it characterize your life, that fervency of spirit? You know, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There is an attitude that God wants our lives to be characterized by. You know, tonight, God does not want the spirit of pride. God doesn't want that bitterness or any of those other sins grabbing our spirit and quenching it from what God would want it to be. From just taking that spirit and having a wounded spirit. God wants our spirit to be cleansed. You know, tonight, do you have that right spirit? Do you have that right attitude in your life? Or are there some things that need to be taken care of? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, I think many times we think about the first part of it. It says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You know, many times I think we think about that, we recognize that our body is the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. But what does it say? It says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your what? Spirit. Which are who? Which are God's? You know, are you glorifying God in your body and in your spirit tonight? Is it every part of you? You know, it talks about in 1 Thessalonians about how your whole soul, body, and spirit be preserved blameless. Is your whole person dedicated to Jesus Christ tonight? You know, it's not just those outward things ought to be right. You ought to be wearing the right clothes. You ought to be protecting yourselves from the sins of the flesh, which are bombarding us on every single side tonight. We don't want to minimize that. But at the same time, we need to recognize that our spirit needs to be cleansed tonight as well. You know, if you allowed sins of the spirit to get in your life, God says it needs to be cleansed. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 34 says, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be what? That she may be holy both in body and in what? And in spirit. There's two aspects here that need to be protected in our lives? Do you have that spirit that honors God? You know, do you have that spirit of faith in your life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Is that spirit of faith recognized in your life tonight, or are you characterized by the spirit of doubt? Our spirit. You know, it says that God has not given us the spirit of what? Of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How's your spirit tonight? Is there a realm of the spirit that needs to be cleansed in your life? But then we see the aim of this cleansing that ought to take place. It says, perfecting holiness. The idea of perfecting is bringing to completion, a complete end. The end of what? Perfecting holiness. So the aim here is holiness. That's what we're striving for. That's the goal in all of this, is that there is holiness that needs to be developed in our body and in our spirit. That's the whole goal of what's happening. As we read in Psalm, God dwells where? In His holy habitation. And that is the goal of our lives, to be holy, even as God is holy. The aim is holiness. We could preach, you know, obviously a whole message could be preached on the holiness of God. But what's the atmosphere that holiness needs, that this is going to be accomplished in? So we find the aim is holiness. But what's the atmosphere? It says perfecting holiness where? How? In the what? In the fear of God. So we find here that there's an atmosphere that this holiness is going to be produced in. So there's a cleansing that's going to take place. The subject is us. The place is where? It's our body and our spirit. The realm in which it takes place. The aim is what? Holiness. The atmosphere is the fear of God. There is a reverence for God that is going to what? Produce holiness. When there is that fear, when there is that awe of who God is, it's going to affect the choices that you make in life. You know what? Who do you fear tonight? Who do you fear tonight? Do you fear a friend? Or do you fear God? And if you want that holiness to be produced in your life, it's going to be produced as you have that atmosphere of the fear of God in your life. You know, maybe in your family, it's going to take some radical changes for that atmosphere to take place. You know, it's not wrong to have, there are certain things of life that aren't wrong. Is it wrong for a teenager to have a cell phone? No, it's not. But you know what? If that cell phone has any opportunity for your child to lose the fear of God, and you know there's a danger there, you better what? You better get rid of it so your child doesn't lose the fear of God because they're texting with this friend or texting with that friend, and they're able to do things that they ought not because they don't have a fear of God in their life. And there is an atmosphere that must be in your home. You know, it might mean you've got to get rid of the TV. It might mean you might have to get rid of the internet. You know, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have the internet at your house. I'm just saying in your situation, it might be, because it can't be controlled. Or your young people have a way of getting around it. You know, and young people nowadays can be very electronically in tune with things. And you know what? If they can get around the internet, and you find out that they can get around, they have ways of finding out, of getting on there without you knowing it, and they're getting on stuff they shouldn't, guess what you should do? Get rid of the internet. And you might feel like you're living in the dark ages if you don't have internet. But for the protection of your children, for the atmosphere of the fear of God, you should be what? Willing to do that for your children. Because that is how holiness is going to be produced. You know, when they see that, you know what, my parents are serious. I'm not saying tonight you have to get rid of the internet. You know, don't get me wrong, okay? We have internet. But you know what? If it's going to be a downfall in your family, you ought to be able to say what? Boom, it's gone. Cell phone, young person, you know what? It's gone. You know what? Car, oh, you're listening to music in that car, it's gone.
Amen.
You know, iPod,
amen,
you're listening to stuff, it's gone. You know, we have got to get serious of recognizing there is an atmosphere that holiness is produced in. It is the fear of God. You know, it's time that parents get serious about being parents. And they say, you know what? This is how it's going to be in our household. And obviously there's a love and there's a concern that need to go along with that. But you know what, parents, tonight you have to recognize you want your children to be holy. It's only going to be produced how? When your child has a fear of God. Do they have that fear of God in their lives? Do you have that fear of God? Are you willing to make those changes necessary so that your home has the fear of God in it? No, that's an important thing. You know, that when something comes on or when something takes place, you know, it just doesn't become commonplace. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. You know, but something comes up in your home and it's sin, it should be alarming. If it's not alarming, then what are you losing? You're losing the fear of God, aren't you? So there is an atmosphere that this holiness is going to be produced in. And what's it all about? Having therefore these promises, and will be a father unto you. There's a relationship that God has with his children as they're willing to step out on faith, in by faith, and make that relationship the most important part of their life. And whatever thing that needs to be separated from in order for that to take place, whatever sin of the spirit, whatever wrong attitude, whatever prideful action is hindering that from taking place, they're willing to get rid of it so that that relationship, that need that only God can provide for in our lives is taken care of. Do we recognize that privileged position that you've been given? That there is a promise that tonight you can possess. Well, it's going to take a rededication to a purified person. And there's a realm that that's going to take place in. There's an aim, the holiness of God. And there's a realm, the fear of God, that is going to be accomplished in. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Lord, I pray tonight that that relationship that only you can give us, Lord, that that is something that we would desire. And Lord, tonight there is action that we need to take place, that needs to take place in our lives. But that action is only going to take place as we step out in faith, realizing that it's your strength. Lord, it's your provision, it's your protection, it's all those, it's what you're doing that ultimately is going to enable us to take the action that we need to take tonight. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that wonders what's going to happen when I take that action that's necessary in my life. But Lord, I pray that they would step out in faith, realizing, Lord, that you will fill each one of those voids in their life tonight.
wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, do you recognize that privileged position of God being your Father, the Almighty God of heaven? And how He wants to dwell, He wants to have a real and living relationship with you tonight. You know, but in the book of Psalms, it talks about where God dwells. And tonight there has to be a cleansing that takes place. You know, maybe there is, tonight you just need to recognize that privileged position. Maybe you need to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to step out by faith and trust the promises of God tonight. Maybe there's a area of purification that needs to take place. Maybe it's something in your spirit. Maybe it's something in your attitude. You say, you know, the Lord spoke in my heart tonight. Maybe it's the fear of God in your home. And you know there's something that's hindering the fear of God from being in your house tonight. And you know what? Maybe it'll make things a little inconvenient for you. But you know what? In the long run, it's going to be the most convenient thing that you can do if it lends itself to producing an atmosphere in which the fear of God is there. So, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight, and tonight I really want to give that to Him because I truly desire to have that relationship with God tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight, Lord, has worked in your life? All right, is there anyone else God's spoken to your heart tonight? You know, do you have that, young person, do you have that fervency of spirit? Or is your attitude about the Christian life a lackluster one? If you don't have that fervency of spirit, you need to confess it as sin. You need to cleanse it tonight. Maybe that's your need tonight. Anyone else tonight God's spoken to your heart? All right, well, let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would work in our lives. Lord, I didn't ask if there's somebody that needs to be saved tonight, but maybe there's somebody out there that needs salvation. Lord, I pray that they would come to You, realizing who their Father is, that they need to make the God of heaven their Father tonight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.